You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome one, welcome all. It is the greatest crossover event in the history of mankind. This is the NFC East Mixtape, a podcast. Actually, that's not the right word. Conglomerate presented to you by SB Nation. You can hear this on any of four different podcast properties. SB Nation's home for Dallas Cowboys content at Blog of the Boys, Philadelphia Eagles at Bleeding Green Nation, New York Giants at Big Blue View, or Washington Commanders on the back of those jerseys at Hogs Haven. My name is RJ Ochoa from Blog of the Boys. He is Brandon Lee Gotten from Bleeding Green Nation, BLG. Happy Tuesday to us. Happy Wednesday to the listener. Basically, we are time travelers.
The worst day of the week is Tuesday, except for this part, and we have elevated Tuesday. Although, again, as you said, listeners don't get to hear this until Wednesday, because that's how it works. But fun show today, I feel like. RJ in store, even though the NFL news cycle is slowing down a little bit. This is the first podcast we've done, by the way, since the James Bradbury signing. Want to give me a quick take on that, since I feel like that's pretty big. Naturally, any podcast we record is instantly outdated because there's teams that always do something right after. So yeah. I wanted to get your quick take on that.
Very quickly, I should also mention you can also watch this on the Blog of the Boys YouTube channel or the Bleeding Green Nation YouTube channel. It sucks. I don't like it. I mean, it bothers me. I mean, do I wish the Cowboys had signed him? Not necessarily. Like, that was never my take on it when we covered this at Blog of the Boys. It was just like, my take was like, that's another thing that the Eagles are doing. With like, the volume of it is what's annoying. It's like, when are you going to do something, Cowboys? I mean, the draft was what? 4 weeks ago?
Like a month ago, basically.
Yeah, like this week marks 4 weeks ago. And Stephen Jones said in the lead up, like their pre-draft press conference and after, he said, well, we're not done in free agency. Well, they have yet to sign an external veteran free agent. Obviously, they signed their whole undrafted free agent class. So it's pretty annoying. I wrote about Peter King's power rankings on Monday, we were talking about that right before we started recording. He noted how the Cowboys, who were not in his top 10, which was a upsetting thing to a lot of people, how they've weakened their roster. And they have. Like, every team in the NFC East has contributed to closing the gap, including the Cowboys. That's my overall take. So the Bradbury thing, pairing with Darius Slay, I will say the one thing that annoys me, and I think you'll agree with this, is I saw lots of tweets of the moment CeeDee Lamb beat James Bradbury in 2020. They're like, this is the guy? The Eagles? It's like, every player has good and bad moments. Like, let's not do this. Like, let's not be these grandstanding people. But those are my two cents.
You could probably put together a decent reel of, like, Darrell Revis or Richard Sherman, like, getting beat, like, you know, and make them look like horrible players if you literally just clipped every touchdown they ever gave up. Like, cornerbacks do give up touchdowns. It happens, even the best ones. I don't think the Eagles are adding like an all pro or even necessarily a Pro Bowl player. He was a Pro Bowler 2 years ago. But it's obviously a good add. They had a huge hole at cornerback too. And it's kind of funny that the Giants are paying a higher cap hit to him than the Eagles are. And I think it was the right move for the Giants, to be clear, because they were just stuck in a bad spot. It's not Joe Shane's fault that Dave Gettleman put him in such a bad spot. So I think it was the right move for the Giants to move on, but it was also the right move for the Eagles to add him at the price they did. Only seven.
The Giants are sweating out the infection. You know, like when you're sick and you have that one, that night you like, and you wake up and you're like drenched in sweat because you sweated out. That's what the Giants are in the process of. That's, you know, it has to happen. It's unavoidable. And so again, like,
it's still annoying though for them.
It is, but like, whoa, we lost James Bradbury. Again, like, I don't mean to speak ill of James Bradbury, but like, if that's your big loss, like, you're doing okay for yourself.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. So before we get started, we always mention, if you leave a review, subscribe to your preferred SB Nation Team Blogs podcast network, leave a rating, write a review, go to a different one, an opposing one, leave a rating, you know, 5 stars, but, and you can write whatever you want in the review. And if you write a review, we promise we will read all of them. We are contractually obligated to. We have 2 reviews over at Blog of the Boys to get to. Brandon, are you ready?
I'm ready.
The first one comes to us from Mario Cap, great listener, longtime SB Nation NFL show listener. Everybody go subscribe over there as well.
A serial reviewer, if you will. Like, that's Mario, true. Mario knows that you can continue to leave different reviews. It's not like you just leave a review mm-hmm. and then you're done for life. Like, if you have a new thing to say, you can update yours.
Well, speaking of, so last week, Brandon, you and I went through the schedule and we predicted wins and losses for every single NFC East team. I even said to you that I felt I was being very measured and very generous and that you were being a little ridiculous. So this is Mario Cap's review. RJ, you are very generous. Your picks made more sense than BLG's. No way will the Commanders beat Dallas at home unless Dak does not play. Thanks for picking the Eagles to go 11-6. I'm a man of the people. What can I say?
What did I have the Eagles going? 12-5?
12-5.
Okay.
I don't even think, like, my qualm with your prediction wasn't even, like how confident you are in the Eagles. It's that you had the Cowboys losing to the Commanders and stuff like that. Like, it was some really unrealistic stuff. Yeah. I know that the hate flows within you, you know what I mean, for the Cowboys. And sometimes, you know, we just have to regulate it a little bit, you know what I mean? Like, and we can measure it in a practical sense. And it got a little impractical last week, is all I'm saying.
I mean, I think the end result of the records weren't that crazy. So that's kind of the activity. It's not always the micro things. It's kind of anyway, more the macro picture.
Our other review. This is a very NFC East mixtape review. Comes to us from Jeremiah. I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly. Eschbach. 5-star rating. So was Mario's. And it is titled
NFC. Eschbach, like Stephen Fishback from Survivor.
That's true. That's true. You are definitely the Stephen Fishback of our show. And I am the Rob Sestern, you know.
Just there we go.
But anyway, the title is NFC East mixtape final form. Here we go. Best collaboration in the SB. Wish the SB stood for sports ball. But that is neither here nor there. Nation catalog, no shade to Stats. I get that the logistics could get in the way, but what are the chances we get Ed and Stabby or one or the other on more often? I get that the Giants and Commanders are the lesser of the teams in the division. These are Jeremiah's words, not ours. But having their perspective boosts the NFC East aspect of the NFC East mixtape. Having all 4 perspectives or a combination would keep things more balanced and could help during the dog days of summer. With that said, RJ, notable Brandon, R.J. Just found out the periods matter. I get it. And BLG, you know periods there. May he forever reign. Keep up the excellent work.
Yeah, I don't. That wouldn't make sense to put periods in my name because they're my initials. I know. My whole name.
That's true.
You wouldn't be like RJ.O, right?
To be clear, like, mine are initials for part of my whole name. Like, my full name is Roel Ochoa right. Jr. So that's where the RJ comes from. But, you know, I just went periods.
And well,
like,
shouldn't you be ROJ, really?
It should. What's weird is, like, my dad doesn't use the name either. He goes by Roy. So, like. Mm. It took until my son for somebody to finally start to go by the name. You know what I'm saying? It's just a weird sort of situation. But also,
did I ever tell you about the guy I knew named JT?
No, there's a lot of people named JT, to be very fair here.
So guy I knew played high school basketball with him. Maybe I shouldn't dox him, but so I'm not gonna say his last name. But JT, I think if I'm not mistaken, I never like had a great like handle on exactly how this worked, but I think it stood for the. It was like. Something John the Third or something. I don't remember.
And oh,
I
was the just T confused. You're saying, dude?
Yeah, the T standing for like the, and I was just like, wait, what? Or unless like I was being like messed with or something. But it was really confusing to me. I never really got the straight story on that one. But
that's
anyway.
True. That's true. That's I mean the does slip in. It's more of like a what are those called? Not prepositions. Like a n and the
definite articles.
Thank you. Thank you. Wow. A in English for BLG. Lots of acronyms happening around here. Okay, Brandon, let's get into it. Everybody hated on you for last week's episode, obviously as proof. Mario, you know, his review stands on its own. This week's was your idea. What do you want to talk about today? I have done no prep work for this. So like lay it out, give us the foundation, and then let's build upon it.
I don't know. That's my
very quickly before we start the Commanders it's OTA season and the back of their jerseys say Commanders.
Yeah, what the hell is this?
It looks like they don't say last names. So actually this was a big deal. I don't know if you knew this or not, but 2 years ago Mike McCarthy slapped last names on the practice jerseys. They didn't used to have them.
Yeah.
And he slapped them on. So it's like a big deal. Whoa. And quarterbacks, this was a big thing of mine.
This one was just dumb.
The quarterbacks did not used to wear red jerseys for the Cowboys.
That's dumb.
Again, I got a lot of content out of that, so I'm really grateful for it. But Mike McCarthy changed that up. But so my point is, like, last names are kind of a thing. The Commanders don't feel that way. The Commanders are, they've had the numbers on their helmets, which is kind of like a college thing. I know the Chargers do it, but last names on the back, that's stupid. Like, that's really dumb. Like, come on.
This is like some Joe Judge, Harry High School stuff where it's like, we're building team unity. And I don't even know if it's quite about that. Because it's not even like they have a new regime, right? Ron Rivera has been here. Obviously, the name is new. And I almost feel like it's about that more than actually building like camaraderie. It's about like building
like
brand
SEO
identity.
Almost. Yeah.
Like, it's not even about football. It's just about like, it's a marketing thing. It's like, let's get the name out there even more than we possibly, but it's just so dumb. Anyway.
Have you seen the Disney movie Miracle on Ice about about the United States hockey team?
Probably, but it's been a long time.
It's a great movie, but obviously you know the story, the Miracle on Ice team. And there's a line in the, I don't know if this was like really said by Kurt or Brooks like in real life, but there's a line where he's like, drilling them and they're practicing because they're getting ready for the Olympics. And he's like, I don't think he's cussing them out because it's a Disney movie, but he says, and don't you forget, the name on the front of the jersey is more important than the name on the back. And that's like what the Commanders are doing here. Like, you think your name is important? The Commanders is what's important.
But it's also on the front, probably, maybe too. So it's on the front and the back. So kind of confusing. But anyway, none of this is neither here nor there, because the theme of today's show, RJ, because I came up with a bunch of great ideas that we'll hopefully get to. There's one on that list that there's a couple on that list I'm pretty excited about. The one I think is very niche interest and will be of popularity with our crossover Survivor audience, which
shout out to Steven Fishbach again. So for sure.
But that's down the road. For now, we will be doing, I figured, the defining members of each NFC East team, and kind of in a similar vein, I think, to how we did like overrated, underrated last year, like a legacy pick, a current player, and then someone you project in the future. I mean, they could be currently on the roster, don't necessarily have to be. You're just projecting into the future here about like who is the most defining member, like who do you think of basically when you hear of this organization. Doesn't have to be a player necessarily. It could be a member. It's a member of the organization. It could be a fan in theory. It could be an executive, coach, player, whatever. It's all up for discussion. So I figured that would be a fun thing to talk about.
I like this idea. Now, for full context, BLG and I are both 30-somethings, both millennials. We were not on Survivor Millennials versus Gen Z.
X.
Are we Gen Z? I really don't know.
We are millennials, RJ.
Gen Z is beneath us, right? Like, we're Gen Z's the kids.
Like Benjamin Solak is Gen Z.
Right. So there's I'm going to assume that for both of us, there's a little bit of that like context. Like, we're talking mostly like, like, we're certainly going to acknowledge, I think, the historical players and whatnot. But like, there's a lot of 21st century vibes is what I'm saying. Yeah. So, are we ready?
I'm ready. Why don't we start with the Cowboys?
I think we start with Washington and New York. I think we go that way.
Okay.
I mean, well, let's build the suspense. Like, hey, we were talking SEO, like, hey, strategy. We got to keep people on.
We'll go bottom up. How about that? We'll give the Giants some love and start with them for once. And
I say we go in that order for all three. Historical, current, future.
Right. That makes sense.
All right. Historical. I go first. You go first. How do you want to do this?
You go first this time. I think there's a correct answer here.
Lawrence Taylor. That's
how could it not be Lawrence Taylor?
Arguably, like, I think if you're the greatest player at your position, that has to be the answer. You know what I mean? Like, he's arguably the greatest player at his position. I really can't think of, you could get, like Frank Gifford. You know what I mean? Like, you could go, like, that route. But, like, Lawrence Taylor is, like, the right blend of history, kind of the rise of the Giants brand and who they were, and, like, the rise of the Parcells era. And, like, he's linked to Parcells, who's this, like, giant figure. He just kind of checks all the boxes. He has these, like, seminal moments. His jersey still percolates, lots of Giant fandom. Lawrence Taylor's the answer. It really isn't that close for me.
Good nickname, too, LT. Like, you know who that is when you hear that, although it's kind of funny.
RJ, BLG, we like this.
Because he went up against a bunch of LTs and left tackles and destroyed them often. he's arguably the best defender in NFL history, right? Like he's like it, a lot of people would say that there isn't a debate, and it just is him. So it has to be him. I put in parentheses next to my answer here, LOL at anyone who thinks it's Eli Manning, because I bet you there's some people who would say Eli, not like the majority, but I feel like some maybe Homer Giants fans might say that. And
I think so. I respect that though. Like this is,
but it's wrong.
No, I understand. But like there is something like, especially if somebody is our age, I respect that. Cause those Super Bowls happened at like really impressionable like times in our lives. You know what I'm saying? So like, I could see that. And I remember the night Andrew Luck retired. There's this girl who's just kind of a part of Cowboys Twitter. Her name's Cassidy McWaugh, and she had this tweet, and she said, "Everybody, make sure to hug your franchise quarterbacks tight." And it was like at that moment, the Romo retirement was still like somewhat fresh. And like when that ride ends, dude, it is such a it's a like come to grips moment in your life, you know. And so like I get for people, Eli was like the common denominator for how many people, you know, graduated or got married or had kids or whatever with Eli as the quarterback of their favorite team. You know what I mean? So like I could kind of see that. Like if people want to say that, I'm cool with that.
Lawrence Taylor once had 20 and a half sacks in a season. He was a MVP. He is an 8-time All-Pro, 10-time Pro Bowler, obviously a Hall of Famer, won 2 Super Bowls, 3
also has one of the best like NFL film sound bites. When he, sure. What is it? Like a bunch of crazy dogs or whatever it is. Like that line is awesome. So, okay.
Lawrence 3-time Taylor. Defensive Player of the Year. Like just, you know, it's pretty obvious.
Who is current? Because I have an answer that I think is a little, maybe a little bit different from yours.
So I don't think this player necessarily, well, I gave it away. It's a player. But I don't think, to be clear, for the activity, it doesn't necessarily have to be someone who's good. Like that doesn't necessarily
agreed.
Mean
it's defining or like who defines yeah,
defining
you, right?
Defining what you think of. So to me, it's Saquon Barkley because agreed. He is like the most notable Giants player. I mean, who else could you possibly pick? Like look at this roster and like who like stands out in any kind of meaningful way? Like what player is like, oh, that's a recognizable player. You could say Leonard Williams. Like, oh, I know that name. Like
Sterling Shepard. I mean, yeah, but I mean like, you know, we're reaching here. But
yes,
I mean,
yeah. And you're, to be clear, we're reaching. But those are like the names you could only other be like maybe kind of like argue for. Like if you were going to make a poll and you were going to like list multiple options, like they would be other options you would put there just so it's not one. But I think it's Saquon Barkley because, I mean, let's be real. This Giants era is a terrible one. It's a really bad one. It's a team, as we like to point out, that has led the NFL in losses since 2017. And it's not that it's all on Saquon. Like, that's not all his fault, obviously. But he is, like, the poster child for dysfunction and really, like, the ultimate dumb move that Dave Gettleman made as GM, taking a running back at number 2. And him being disappointing and everything. So between his visibility and like how he represents the badness of the Giants, I think it's clearly him.
I think that's a really great answer. To be very clear, I think like again, it's important to know that these don't have to all be like positives or Hall of Famers or whatever. Like it's defining. And so fantastic answer in that sense. If the like if they made a movie or a documentary about like this like era of suck, right? Like Saquon will be on the cover. Right? Like that's yep. That's the whole like point here. I'm gonna go in a different direction, which is why the show is great. It's Eli Manning. Like, it doesn't have to be a player, doesn't have to be an executive, doesn't have to be a coach. Eli Manning is like the defining characteristic or character for the Giants. And I can tell you, like, when Tony Romo became an announcer, there like it was weird. Like, and I'll put myself as a part of this, but like a lot of Cowboys fans like took victory laps for the successes, right? like it was like he was a part of the team still, you know, like bro, no, and like even, you know, the other day when it was announced that Greg Olsen will be Fox's top color analyst this season, obviously, you know, sort of a temporary thing until Tom Brady's back, I tweeted out, you know, this is awesome, whatever, Greg Olsen was the best color analyst in the NFL last year. My mentions filled. Tony Romo. It's okay. Like you could say someone else is better, and that doesn't mean you like don't love Tony Romo. And so, like in a weird way, there's like this like need to like have him be successful because it like connects you to the team. And Eli has that going right now, right? Like Eli has the Manning cast, and they're doing all this stuff. They got all these like production companies. He has his like ESPN Plus show, and now it's like growing and growing and growing. And so, like that is it. Like that's what you have if you're a Giants fan. Like I guarantee you, Giants fans, and maybe not Colts. Like I think Peyton hates the Colts, but like Broncos fans like always watch the Manning cast over the regular broadcast, especially now that Troy's on it, you know? So I do think that they like endear themselves to the successes that Eli is having, because it helps, like, not only in a nostalgic sense, but it's like the only success that they can link themselves to in the current moment.
You know the saying, it's better to move on from a player a year too soon than a year too late. I mean, the Giants really proved that, except like the opposite, the inverse of that, and kept him around for years and years too late. And obviously the Steelers kind of did that with Ben Roethlisberger as well. And just think about like the wasted time for those two. Not that like keeping Eli and keeping Big Ben have been the only problems for the Steelers and Giants respectively, but just think about like how that's basically not giving them a chance into like going into a season, and has also hindered their progress at finding their replacement. You're just like wasting, you're throwing seasons away when you do things like that. And I always say, and I think a common, I mean, I say a lot to you, like, you have to count the bad as well. When we talk about Eli Manning's Hall of Fame case, like, you can't just only pick the two. Like, you have to account for, he has a 500 record as a starter. That's pathetic. And like, he was very close to being under 500. He dipped under 500 when the Eagles beat him in, I guess it was 2018. And then he got back up to 500 when they beat like the Dolphins, who are really bad or whatever. But like, you have to account for that. And I think more so the tail end of Eli, obviously, as it goes now, and all the bad, especially bad years, encapsulate what was wrong with that franchise and how loyalty can be a bad thing. There is such a thing as loyalty to a fault, and that's what the Giants were. So I don't like it because he's not currently on the team, but I get what you're saying.
Future. I'll go first here, if you allow me.
Sure.
I think it's TBD. I know it's a cop-out, but like, there's... Wow. No, like... No,
what
no,
a
but
bold
like,
pick.
But like, it would be like one of those like gray, like, you know, when NFL.com doesn't have a picture for a player and it's like a gray like avatar or whatever, that would be it. Like, it's a gray avatar that is like TBD. Like, there is no future face of this. Like, this is the classic, like, you know, I'm sure there's like 1,000 Giants fans like, you know, I'm not even buying a jersey of this team. You know, the only Giants jerseys I'm buying are Lawrence Taylor and Michael Strahan. I don't know if that's a New York accent or not. No. Oh, and Elisha. You know what I mean? Like, I'm always in on Eli. But like, there is no future right now. There's not. And that, like, that's, they're sweating the infection out. You know what I'm saying? You can't make plans until you're healthy. And the Giants are just in that process right now.
I think you're wrong. I think there's a clear answer here. I think it's Kayvon Thibodeau. I think that's the guy.
Oh, man, that's fair. But yep. That's a good point. But dude, I just can't get behind number 5. God, that is so gross.
Well, but like, you could see this though, like him potentially, you know, being a steal. Oh, this guy could have been number 1, and him being picked 5th overall, and he's wearing number 5. And
he has Michael Strahan vibes, like very charming and charismatic, and obviously like same position. Like, I could totally see that.
I still think there is bust potential with him. I'm not saying like, I definitely think this. I'm not saying he will be a bust. I'm saying I think some people are like writing that possibility off. They're like, oh, he's definitely going to be a stud. There's no issues here. It's like, oh, I think there's some issues there. We'll see if those don't end up being a big deal, but I think they're there. It's not like they're just fake. Anyway, looking at the positive of it, it's been forever, RJ, since the Giants have had a good edge rusher. Like, their edge rush has stunk, and it's been a big reason why they've been bad for so long. And so I think Thibodeau has a chance to be the guy here. Just a good name too, Kayvon Thibodeau. You have LT, now you have KT. I've seen people calling him KT. So I think, you know, there's something to that synergy there. So I think it's clearly him. I think and who knows, the future is it's a projection here, but I think he will be the most defining player of the next Giants era, good or bad.
I think that's...
One last thing. If he's a bust, same thing. It would have the same, like, that would also apply. I think there'd be a lot of heat.
That's why I'm not willing to commit to the future thing, because like, I'm not certain, you know, the jury's still a little bit out, you know? And so, but if I have to pick a player or like an actual person, like if I can't cop out like a TBD, then I think that's your answer. Very briefly, before we move up to Washington, on the subject of numbers, I had somehow missed or overlooked that Sky Moore is wearing number 24. Did you know this?
I did see that. Sky Moore 24. I like the sound of that when you say 84 it out loud.
Works just the same and makes way more sense.
No, 24 sounds better than 84. No, dude. But I agree with you. It's a bad number.
It is a disgusting number for a wide receiver. What makes me so upset is that it belonged to a pass rusher a year ago. So like, Melvin Ingram wore 24 for them.
Oh, and what? Then, I didn't even know that. That's gross.
I know. Like,
why is he wearing that number? That sucks for him too.
I'm astounded that like the number 20, like I hate this. Like, I'm super fine. Like, I'm an old man, whatever, get off my lawn. I hate this. Kayvon Thibodeau, dude, Thibodeau would have been an awesome 99. You know what I mean? Or 90 or 91. Like, obviously, like, you know, those are great numbers in Giants 95. History. 95 would have been awesome. That would have been sick. Five looks so stupid and dumb and thin for his big, you know, Herculean body. Like, it's dumb.
It makes him look smaller, I feel like.
I know.
Like,
the bigger numbers
make players look bigger. That's why I like him on, like, big wide receivers. It's like, oh, wow. John Madden had said the same thing, by the way. So anyone coming at me with
jersey
numbers don't matter. John Madden said it. All right. Why don't we move on to the Commanders?
Okay. Passed. Do you want to go first?
Also, a correct answer here. And it's Sean Taylor.
Yeah, I mean, but I think he's like, that's its own like special answer. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm totally fine if like
he counts.
I'm not saying he doesn't count at all. Like, again, that is the answer. But like, that is a universally agreed upon thing. Mm-hmm. So like, in the spirit of some debate, like if we were to go a non-Sean Taylor answer, I mean, then it becomes a little bit tough. I mean, but like, I honestly think the answer is like, you could go like Sammy Baugh, John Riggins, but for me, and he went to the same school as my dad and played on the same team as my uncle, so I'm a little bit biased towards him. Daryl Green. Again, if we're doing non-Sean Taylor players, like, Daryl Green had this, like, he's the fastest man alive, fastest man in the NFL, like, fastest man even into his 40s. Like, that is one of the few, like, things that has, like, lasted the, like, test of time. I think Daryl Green is the non-Sean Taylor answer.
I have to say, it kind of makes me sad how much Washington fans like idolize Sean Taylor, not because like he doesn't deserve it, but just because it's just like, it feels like that's all they have to hold on to. And that just like makes me, I don't like that. And it reminds me of how Sixers fans for a long time were doing that with Allen Iverson, because they didn't really have anyone else to hang their hat on. And even still kind of do that a little bit too much for my liking, especially because now you have Joel Embiid there. And I think that's kind of shifted where, you know, he's kind of taking a lot of that spotlight now. But it's just like, I don't know. It just feels like loser stuff to me to kind of be like so focused on the past like that. I get, you know, it was tragic. I'm not trying to minimize Sean Taylor at all, but like, it's time to move on. And you can't just like keep holding on to that forever as much as, we need to find a new thing. We need to put energy into finding the new thing. I know it's been hard because the Washington hasn't given their fans a lot to hold on to, but yeah, I think it's him. I think he's the legacy guy. Because
I agree with you.
You see it again, all the time.
I'm just bringing like in the spirit of like some discussion. I do think we overlook the career of Chris Cooley just a little bit. Like, I know he's like affiliated with the team now. There was a time where like Chris Cooley was one of the best tight ends in the NFL. And do you remember those commercials? He had this sickest like commercial. He was like in a house that was like under construction, and he like smashed his hand through a wall and caught a pass. That was so cool. That was back when I don't really even hate the Commanders anymore. Like, I nothing them. You know what I mean? Like there's no like rivalry. There's like, yeah, okay, fine, we'll play you twice a year. But like, there's no like bitterness or like, yeah. I mean, I hate the Eagles. Like, I love the Eagles. The Eagles are scum. But like, the Commanders just exist. You know, like, and that was a time where I felt the same way about them. And I long for that. You know, I miss it a little bit.
So current, I would have to say it's Dan Snyder. He's the most defining member of Washington. They're a dysfunctional team. We always expect them. The level of apathy that you talked about, Dan Snyder created that. Like, he is responsible for that and it not being more of a serious rivalry, because they're not a serious franchise. And he is ultimately the root of everything that goes wrong there. So I think it has to be Dan Snyder.
I agree. I saw the Commander subreddit was just like, this man will do anything he can to make us hate him more. On the subject of the alleged location of the new stadium, assuming it comes to fruition. But yeah, and future is, I don't even know that you can say Terry McLaurin. Like, is he going to be there? Like, is it maybe it's Chase Young, I guess, is the future answer.
I have whoever replaces Dan Snyder, like that guy or woman or whoever, that person is going to be incredibly popular. Like, they're going to get a big honeymoon period because Dan Snyder sucks so much. That if someone replaces him, and it's not obviously like his wife, it's someone like totally outside of the current regime, that person is going to be so beloved and they're going to get so much benefit of the doubt just because of how bad Dan Snyder has been. So to me, that is the
answer. Ride can be short lived, though. Just ask David Tepper, you know, because that he got that bump, right? Like from Jerry Richardson selling the Panthers. It was like, David Tepper, he's cool. He's got a lot of money. He's in tech. Blah, blah, blah. He's going to build all this stuff. And now they just suck. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, whatever. We flew through the Commanders.
Here, what? RJ. Why don't we take a break before we get to the Eagles and Cowboys?
We can take a break for the podcast audience, but the YouTube audience,
yes,
knows no break. So right. Here comes the break.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, we're back. YouTube audience, we didn't go anywhere. Actually, we went somewhere. Where did you go, BLG, during the break? So everybody knows.
I definitely got up to go get Arby's.
Oh, curly fries. Respect.
Curly fries. Their sliders are really good, by the way. I went recently, and I don't really have an Arby's super close to me, so I'd gone to my parents' house, and there's one a little bit closer to them, and I didn't know what to get, so I figured I would just get one of all the different sliders they have, and really good.
I always think of the Big Montana from Arby's. Have you ever seen the movie Saving Silverman?
No.
Then the reference would be lost on you. The Philadelphia Eagles. Do you want my answers first? Do you, like, I think the listeners probably want your answers for, like,
I'll go first for the Cowboys, and you can go first for the Eagles.
Okay. So, like, historic member for me, I think there's one correct answer. All right. And I'm not playing to the audience. Like, I think some people would go Donovan McNabb. Pff, get that out of here.
No.
I think you could go Andy Reid, but I think Andy's had enough success in Kansas City that it kind of, like, washes it away. The correct answer, Mr. Philadelphia Eagle, as far as I'm concerned, Brian Dawkins.
Yeah,
that's the answer.
It's the correct. It's there. There's like a big poll I think years ago that they did, like, who is the most defining Eagles player, basically, or, you know, whatever, most beloved. And it's obviously Brian Dawkins. People still love Brian Dawkins. They'll always love Brian Dawkins. Brian Dawkins, like, underrated
Denver Bronco legend. Brian Dawkins, by the way.
Who did he win a Super Bowl with?
I mean,
so anyway,
Ravens.
Brian Dawkins was a member of the Eagles front office, so he got a Super Bowl ring, and he was kind of like low key important to, well, so like he had an interesting role. He wasn't only that he was part of the front office; he would also kind of like work with players after practice a lot, and players talked about that being like meaningful to them. So he did play some kind of role in them winning a championship, and obviously it was incredibly serendipitous that Brian Dawkins was announced that he'd be going into the Hall of Fame the night before the Eagles won the Super Bowl. So there's even that like added legacy to him after he retired and being a great player. Brian Dawkins can do no wrong in the eyes of Eagles fans, and it is very much him.
Current player. Again, I'm going to go first on all of these, and you can tell me.
Doesn't have to be a player, but yes.
Or yeah, well, mine is a player. Because I'm not making it, you know, visor man Nick Sirianni with his highlighter. But
it's your guy.
I know. I at least I got his last name right this time. Last time
I bet you guys would like have a lot of fun chopping.
Oh,
up,
dude, we would be gross. Like, I mean,
going
we
to
would
the beach.
We would be hanging out by the end of the week. I would have a photo on my Instagram like of me in the visor with him. Like,
you're like doing the Russell Wilson voice to him, and he's like loving it.
Oh yeah, and he's like, you know, and Nick, you know, the Eagles, they almost drafted me, you know, 2012. But you know, thank God they didn't, because you know, 1 year later, go Hawks, baby. We were in New York. I mean, I KT hit me up. He was asking me for the hotspots, but I was like, man, KT, you know, when I was there, I mean, we were busy. I mean, we were winning the bowl. So yeah. But anyway,
he's gonna pander to you by wearing like a Texas A&M shirt while you're hanging out.
Oh, dude. Oh my gosh. Anyway, okay. He's gonna like spell my name with the dots that like the periods between them. But anyway, it's Jalen Hurts. Like, because I think if you're defining, you are also, you like instigate, like, there's no player, I think, on the Eagles that like generates the like debate among Eagles fans like Jalen Hurts. Because there's the like Jalen is a top quarterback, and then there's the like Jalen is trash and we're limited by him, you know, faction. And so, like, I think he is the defining force. And if he's, I mean, I don't think he will be, but if he is good or great or whatever, like, holy crap. Now we're talking about like legitimate playoff Super Bowl contending team. If he's not, then yeah, you have a really good roster that has all these other pieces that is inhibited by your quarterback. So you're either going to be this like dude who evolves and takes the next step, or you're going to be Tim Tebow. And, you know, he's, but like beyond that, I think what also like injects into this overall equation is he's cool and he's charming and he's a likable guy and the locker room rallies around him and his play style is just like fun. It's fun to watch him run. Like, there's a lot of like, he's a very like get his jersey a bowl player And a really like iconic college football player. So he has all these like, you know, things going for him. So I think he's the answer.
He's definitely the biggest X factor on the Eagles because it looks like on paper, they have the talent on the roster. The coaching should be not the like sinking the season. That's still, you know, there's still stuff to be proven with Sirianni and his staff, but like, you're like, okay, the biggest question mark is Jalen Hurts. So I agree he's the biggest X factor, but I put Jason Kelce as the defining player because I think a lot of people would kind of point to him as almost like modern Dawkins and just like universally beloved, can't do wrong, Super Bowl champion, eventual Hall of Famer, had the speech of the Super, like he's just the most recognizable, I feel like, Eagles player. And like for a fan base that cannot agree on many things or anything, I think everyone agrees that just like Jason Kelce is awesome. Where, you know, Hurts, again, as you mentioned, is a little more divisive. I have Brandon Graham here as a close second, but I think
BLG.
Yeah, it's true. I think Kelce gets the edge here. And so last year when there was a lot of talk about like, what are they going to do with the Carson Wentz banner on the stadium? And they were taking that down. Like there's a lot of talk that it should just be Jason Kelce being put up on the stadium instead, which I think kind of speaks to, you know, being a defining player.
See, but I like that's to me part of why Hurts is the answer. Like, there's no question that that like Carson Wentz holds a very infamous chapter in Eagles history, right? Like you can never erase that. Like it exists. And like who like plunged the how do you kill a vampire? What kind of
steak. It's a steak,
right? Like who plunged the stake into the vampire of darkness that like the Eagles were in? It was Jalen Hurts. You know what I mean? Like it was his presence. Mm. I mean, maybe Howie like actually, you know, like punctured it, but like Jalen was the stake. So yeah, I think that's important. That's a good analogy by me. You don't compliment my analogy game enough.
I don't think it's right, but anyway, future.
I know you want to say Devontae Smith, but no, and like
literally
I think
my
from,
answer.
I think from like a who they are as a player standpoint, like that certainly makes sense. Like I think he'll become like one of the better receivers in the NFL. But A, he wears number 6, which is just disgusting. I can't get on board with that. B, he's too quiet, very Amari Cooper like, which is fine, but you just can't be like a face if you're quiet. You know, like go out, do your work, respect. Like that's all people care about. But like if you're gonna be like loud and proud and like the dude, I think like you know, I mean, Jordan Davis has a chance to me, like I like this iconic, like they do it. And like, to me, like he's also, they pulled up, they jumped up, they drafted him. The Ravens wanted him. Like if that hits, like the legend of it grows off of that.
I do think he is being underrated from a standpoint of like leadership and stuff. Everyone just thinks about like, oh, this guy's going to stop the run. He's huge and he's athletic. But if you listen to his interviews, like he's pretty personable. And that was a part of the reason I think I wanted the Eagles to draft him. Like it was just another box to check because I think he can be a leader of the next you know, phase of this team, especially with Fletcher Cox heading out the door, hopefully probably next year. So I think that's fair. I think he'll be a key player. And just because of how unique of a player he is, like how athletic he is and how big he is. And he was kind of like that for Georgia, right? Like he was that guy that like Trayvon Walker was the number one overall pick, but like, I feel like Jordan Davis was like the name that everyone kind of cared about the most because of how unique he was and the 99. It's like he had the personality, all of that stuff combined. I think so. I think there's something to that. But I'm going to go with Devontae Smith because, of course, I am. It's like I know it's possible A.J. Brown's better, but like A.J. Brown's also not homegrown. And that's a different, you know, there's a factor there. I think there's something to right. that. And also with like Devontae being here at the beginning of potentially the Jalen Hurts era, the Nick Sirianni era. And not being like a piece to kind of get over the top, but like being there from the ground floor, I think there's something to that. So
yeah, very very Amani Toomer like the path of Devontae Smith. You know what I'm saying? Like that's what it reminds me of. Quick little interjection before we do the Cowboys BLG. I just saw a tweet from Ian Rappaport that the NFL scouting combine will be in Indianapolis for the next 2 years. So the NFL lost out on a chance to make a lot of money. I bet you feel really bad for them.
I have no opinion on this.
All right. The Dallas Cowboys, the best team in the world.
So, legacy.
There's a lot.
This was tough. Yeah, this might be the toughest answer of any of these on the entire
list. Of all
list.
12? Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
I have one written down, but I almost wonder if I should move it to another thing, because I could. But I think it's Jerry Jones. I think it has to be.
What?
Because there's the highs and lows, and that's the story of the Cowboys, right? They had some very high highs. They won Super Bowls, but there was also this current era of failure, and I think Jerry was clearly involved in both of those. So And it's all about Jerry, and you know that. Mm-mm. And everyone knows that he is the face of that team. And maybe, again, so I should be current, but I just feel like, to me, the lasting legacy of the Cowboys is Jerry Jones. And again, look, there's a lot of different names you could pick. I'm not saying this is like by far and away, but I went with him. It was a gut feel, and I'm not going to take it back.
It's wrong. The answer is Roger Staubach. I mean, the America's team name coined during his run of success. He's America's quarterback at the Navy, you know, a Heisman Trophy winner. I mean, like, this, you know, example of, you know, perfection in every single sense. Like, he is the, like, holy grail of not just, like, players, but, like, human beings. And is, like, a Dallas, you know, guy through and through now. Huge member of the community, like, huge ambassador for the community. Has always said and done the right things. Is loved and endeared and bestowed upon by his teammates, past and present. Is this, like, larger-than-life figure. And didn't need, like, a football career post-playing to really do it. Like, I think Troy has reached that level, especially now being the voice of Monday Night Football. And not that Troy wasn't accomplished, obviously, as an NFL player, but, like, part of, like, the legend, if you will, of Troy Aikman is, like, his career as a broadcaster. Roger didn't need that. Like Roger the Dodger, Captain America, like, he is, like, he's a legend. He's a living legend. And so that is the answer. He's number 12. Like, the number 12 is, like, a holy number in NFL history. When you really think about it, like, someone's been the number 12, like, it's generally just elite people.
Randall Cunningham.
That's right. But the answer is Roger Staubach. If you want to apply the same methodology, but just, like, for a little bit of a younger audience, then it's Emmitt Smith, the NFL's all-time leading rusher, kind of like the face of the 90s.
I thought
teams.
About him.
You know, he's and like, I think some people would say Michael Irvin, but he's a little too, like, rah-rah for that.
No,
like,
it has to be Emmitt over Michael. Yeah.
Right. Again, all-time leading rusher, these, like, seminal moments, the, like, defining kind of driving force characteristic of those teams and of those successes. And he's of the three, obviously the triplets, he's the only one who, and I realize he doesn't have, like, the media obligations of Troy or Irvin. He's the only one who's, like, unafraid to call them out, which I think has, like, in a different way endeared him to fans in our current moment. So, but those are the only two answers, to be frank with you. So you were wrong and dumb.
I also considered Landry, but that's,
you could,
like,
go that,
you know,
route too. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. It's an older era. I didn't really have a strong stance, but I thought, you know, he was worth mentioning in there. Why don't we go to current? And I think it's a clear answer. It's Dak. Who else could it be? I mean, when you're the starting quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, that's obviously a pretty prolific, especially prolific position. Dak is the reason why you would have any kind of hope still about the Cowboys in their current iteration. Like, you're not feeling great about many things, not to say, like, he's literally the only thing to feel good about, but Dak is the thing that can make you feel like, okay, they've had a bad offseason, but that might not matter if Dak gives them an edge at quarterback in these situations. And, you know, he still provides some level of hope. So I think it's him, obviously, him being a homegrown player and being found in the fourth round. There's always a lot of value in that in terms of, like, cachet with fans. Like, people like an underdog like that. They like a steal, especially at the most important position. So I think it's Dak very clearly.
I think there's also, like, a different level of endearingness for franchise quarterbacks when they start from day one. Like people, they just love it so much more if you have literally 100% of your career been the starting quarterback. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's a little bit different than if you sat a year or something like that. Just, like, again, through the prism of a fan. Yeah, I mean, he's the face of the Cowboys. And I don't think it's a coincidence. I mean, maybe it's a coincidence, but, like, I don't know if you know this. The beginning of his career coincided with their move from Valley Ranch to the Star. Like, he is emblematic. He is the face of, like, it's weird to say modern day, like, 2016 to this point, but, like, the modern day Cowboys. Like, they have the Cowboys at the Star, at this massive, like, mini metropolis, have been the Dak Prescott Dallas Cowboys. And I think that's what shook people so much with the way the playoff loss happened, is that he had this, like, you know, bad moment at the very end. And then of all the people that Dak, you know, messed up with what he said, like,
kind of underrated. And I know. Like, in the scope of how, like, the offseason discussion, like, people were very quick to forgive this.
I know, but that's, like, he had never, like, you know,
it was out of character. I agree. It was really bad though.
It was very jarring. You know, it, again, especially
that's a big loser energy move.
It was. And especially, like, when I know this had annoyed you, but, like, when he was the kid who picked up the Gatorade cup and threw it, you know what I mean? Like,
so dumb. Yeah,
I know. But, like, my point is, like, that had always been his image. I think it still is his image. But, like, it was so out of character. It was so very strange that I think it just shook people. I think we're both going to agree on the answer for the future, but I'll let you have the floor.
just the last thing on Dak, like, you know, being a visible face in terms of like all the commercials he does and stuff too, like that counts towards this. Like that,
he's a face of the NFL, like, to be clear.
One of them, yeah. So,
and I think he could be the answer for the future, but I think we both want a non-Dak answer, like, for the spirit of this, or no?
Yeah, and also I just think, like, I'm talking about like a new era of Cowboys football, kind of, and I think he's already been part of it. I guess I went with CD because I think CD has the chance to be there for a long time. He has the opportunity to step up here into a much bigger role with Amari leaving and kind of being Dak's new go-to guy for a long time. Yeah, I think it's him.
Number 88 kind of had that forced upon him. He wanted number 10. But that's a fair answer. Interesting. I saw PFF rank the receivers. I don't know if you have seen this yet.
No.
This was on Tuesday, the day we're recording. They had CD 12th. I think they had AJ Brown 11th or 10th, just slightly above him. And I want you to guess where they had Amari Cooper. CD was 12th.
I kind of forget. Like, Amari didn't have like a great season last year, right?
No. And he was hurt, COVID. I mean, but yeah. Like, what would you guess?
I don't know, like 18th?
22nd. I thought that was interesting. Yeah. Like, I'm not trying to be like, boom, Cowboys are geniuses, but like, it was just, you know, there's a lot of people who are down on Amari. Like, I think the people who are highest on Amari are Cowboys fans that are upset about the trade. Like
sure. Well, but anyway, it did not age well at all.
Right. I don't disagree with you, but I think there's a better answer. We started this, and so this is appropriate to like bookend it this way. We started it with Lawrence Taylor, right? Like, best defensive player in the NFL, like, blah, 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 who has been like comp to him, like, over and over and over again. Right. And like, there are a lot of great defensive players in the NFL, but like, Micah Parsons has the chance to be one of the very best defenders of all time. Mm-hmm. If his career obviously is similar to his rookie season, which is a big if at this point, but I think it has to be him. I think the like, again, because we kind of factored in like the stories and the legends and the narratives, the fact that the Cowboys traded back with Philly to acquire him, like, you could see that being like, you know, part of his Hall of Fame speech or something like that. The fact that he, you know, is like, he's like a character in his own way. His career is very, his rookie year was like Dak and Zeke's rookie years combined, if that makes sense. Like, he has the electricness or electricity of Zeke and like the character that Zeke was, with the like on-field success and leadership that not that Zeke didn't have success, but you get my point. So I think Micah's the answer. Like, you know, especially like, CD is not much younger than Dak. I mean, CD is only 4 years younger than Dak. Mm-hmm. And so like, I think the offensive side of the ball is Dak's for the foreseeable future, but the defensive side of the ball, like, DeMarcus Lawrence is much closer to the end than the beginning. There's no real like future cornerstone on the deep, maybe Trayvon Diggs, if you know, think that, but Micah's just like a much more ferocious player because of the position he plays. Like, I think the answer is Micah Parsons.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I think, yeah, I'm wrong. It's Micah. although I will say, you know, CD for offense, obviously Micah Parsons overall.
Wow. No love for Dalton Schultz. Interesting.
I can't tell you a single like highlight that Dalton Schultz had last year. And I think I was saying this to Jimmy because we were comparing the NFC, or no, sorry, we're comparing the Eagles and Cowboys rosters. And I was saying it to him. I'm like, I can't tell you. I watch a decent amount of the Cowboys considering they're in the Eagles division. And obviously at least at two Cowboys games per year. I can't remember a single thing that Dalton Schultz did last year. Maybe that says more about me, but I can't remember like a big highlight play that he made.
There were a few, obviously.
I'm sure. And if you're watching every snap like you are and the Cowboys fans are, then you will. But like, for me, I just don't remember that.
Last thing, as we pack up and get out of here, I asked Tony Casillas this on the 750 on the Blog on the Boys Network. Are you going to see Top Gun Maverick?
No.
Why not?
I've never seen any of those.
There's only one for,
well, I don't know. See, well then point, that's exactly my point. I don't know what's going on in that realm. I will say I did see, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Not going to spoil anything, but I did see, I think, the preview for Top Gun, and it looked really cool. So maybe I should, but I probably won't.
On the subject, I was actually going to start this at the very beginning, and we'll close it with this. You said the multiverse. Obviously, that was the Doctor Strange movie, the multiverse. Have you seen the trailer or the discussion around this new video game, Multiverses? Have you
seen this?
So this is a new Super Smash Brothers style game, like that same kind of format. And the characters are all from like the Warner Brothers universe. So like the ones that I've seen, Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, also some Looney Tunes.
Yes, I did see this then.
Characters from Scooby-Doo. But again, the Warner Brothers umbrella overall. So that includes HBO. So Arya Stark was in this. And
the Adventure Time guy, right?
Yes. And because this movie was on HBO or
Tom
his
and
movie.
Jerry.
Well, yes, but LeBron James in his Space Jam uniform.
That is so stupid.
So this was going to be my pitch. And BLG and I are working on more creative ways to do things for the mixtape. We're going to start maybe doing some Instagram reels on Instagram at RG Ochoa at Brandon Gowden, by the way. We are planning on doing a reel at least based around this episode. But this game is apparently like cross-platform. So it's free to play, first of all. It's going to be free to play starting in July. It's one of those games that has like seasons or whatever. That's what you pay for. But if you have multiple consoles or whatever, you can download it for like your PS5 and your Nintendo Switch, and you can play on one. And then I think you can do this with like, I'm not like big in this scene, but so maybe I sound really stupid here. You can like play on one, put it down or whatever, and then pick it up on a different device and like completely pick up on
like
your
swapping,
progress.
Kind of.
So my point is it's free to play and there's 2-on-2 matchups that are like, that's like the game's pitch is like you can do two, you know, fighters versus two fighters. So maybe you and I 2-on-2 some listeners, or maybe like I take a listener, you take a listener, we 2-on-2 that way. Like, again, we got a lot of possibilities here. I know I'm Batman and you're the Joker, but maybe in this context, I'm Superman and you're Batman. So.
I just did watch the Batman, by the way. And
pretty good.
That was fine. I didn't regret watching it, but I'm not going to watch it again.
I had to watch it over the course of like 3 sittings because it was really long.
Same kind of. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was cool. It wasn't like, holy crap, good, but it wasn't terrible. I mean, it was fine. It was a good movie.
Yeah.
Okay, Brandon, let's go ahead and get out of here. The final 4 words belong to you.
1, 2, 3, 4.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast-closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.